appreciate a piece from John Spaulding's book, A Pilgrim's Digress, that appeared in the March edition of Books and Culture. It's on John Wesley's fascination with medicine and healing. It makes him out to be a bit of a crank, but after reading some of Spaulding's remarks, I will conclude with some of my own, which demonstrate that Spaulding's observations only increase Wesley's stature if interpreted properly. Speaking of Wesley's house in City Road, Spaulding says, I quote, "In the dining room is displayed Wesley's chamber horse, an exercise chair. Wesley hopped up and down in this chair for hours, simulating horseback riding. He was convinced that exercise was essential for health and long life. Walking was the best, followed by riding. Wesley often paced his bedroom, having calculated that 200 trips wall to wall equaled a mile. Wesley himself manufactured and dispensed medicine at the foundry. Wesley's cure for hair loss: rub the scalp morning and evening with onions, and rub it afterwards with honey. For lethargy, Wesley recommended strong vinegar up the nose. An easy and natural method of curing most diseases was Wesley's main tome on health. By its 24th edition in 1792, the book included thousands of therapies, many of which Wesley tried himself, noting "tried" after each one he had used on himself. For example, his cure for an earache: put in a hot roasted fig or onion. Tried. Or blow the smoke of tobacco strongly into it. And his cure for a toothache: be electrified through the teeth. Tried. Against the wall in one room stands his personal electric shock machine. He'd turn the crank on this crude device to generate a current of electricity through a metal rod against which he'd press his tongue, forehead, or an ailing body part, a burn or a sore tooth, for example. Wesley wrote that of all his cures, one I must recommend above all other medicines I have known, is electricity. Wesley claimed electricity could cure almost 50 ailments, from deafness and leprosy to stomach aches and even feet violently distorted. When his brother Charles lay on his deathbed, John earnestly advised him to be electrified, not shocked, but only filled with electric fire. Charles never roused himself long enough to undergo his brother's cure. Spaulding's research, while amusing, gives the impression of a man rather preoccupied with his own health, who sat around in his study dreaming up rather dubious cures for a vast variety of physical ailments. However, we should first remember that Wesley rode over 225,000 miles on horseback in extending the gospel. He preached 2 to 3 times a day, 7 days a week, for 52 years. In addition, as we know, he was a crusading abolitionist and fed the hungry every day at the foundry, eating his meals, by the way, with the poor and eating the same food that they were served. His primary reason for finding some time, somehow, to do medical experiments, write a medical text, and open a free dispensary, was not a preoccupation with his own health, but it was an expression of his tremendous love for the poor and his desire to alleviate their physical suffering. We should also remember that he represented a generation that had a tremendous curiosity about the whole created order. To discover and invent was in their DNA. Benjamin Franklin, who lived about the same time, is remembered as one of the American founding fathers. But just like Wesley, he had a total fascination with the created order, and his contributions to our understanding of electricity is one of his outstanding legacies. As children of the information age, we are swamped with facts, but being spoon-fed with information can dull our personal curiosity and creativity. We can learn from Wesley that even in the midst of a demanding ministry, some time can be set aside to explore the great love gift of creation. However, what strikes me so powerfully in all this is that as a theologian, Wesley distinguished between nature and grace, the natural and the supernatural, but he did not separate them. Therefore, he was quite comfortable praying for the sick and also asking the Lord for medical remedies to help them. As charismatics, we can learn a lot from Wesley here. So many of us struggle trying to balance prayer and faith for healing with doctors and medicine. We often feel that to resort to one is to betray the other. If we've had anointing and prayer for a physical need, we feel that then to visit the doctor is to somehow invalidate the prayer for healing. I might be wrong, but I think this is because, unlike Wesley, rather than simply distinguishing between nature and grace, we have now separated them. In doing so, we fail to see the creation itself as an extravagant love gift of grace. There would be no nature in the sense of creation if there was no grace. All dimensions of creation are the gift and grace of God to humankind. Sin damaged this gift, and therefore, in addition to the grace of creation, we also need the grace of redemption. But both are grace gifts. We can distinguish between nature and grace, but we must not separate them. Wesley's clear-headedness in seeing both the natural and the supernatural as equal love gifts from God to his children freed him to both pray for the sick and electrocute them, in a manner of speaking, and rub onions on the bald heads of his preachers. Wesley was not a crank. He was a man ablaze with the fire of the Holy Spirit and a love for the poor. Please pray for my physical healing, and meanwhile, perhaps I need to go out and buy some onions.